Back to Brian Bushlack's business briefing on AM 770 KTTH.
A gorgeous evening across Puget Sound, and welcome back. I'm Brian Bushlack. Glad you could join us for the debut of Business Briefing here, continuing our conversation with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial and WFG National Title. Pat crisscrosses the country, and I asked him to really give us a measure of the mood in different regions.
Well, Brian, it's kind of interesting because the markets you would assume that are optimistic are the Bay Area, New York City, the financial markets, the technology markets are doing well. And I think also I was in the Midwest last week, and I was pleasantly surprised with the business as usual. Everything's fine. We didn't get crazy, and we're not falling off the cliff attitude that you see in the Midwest. Now, Chicago itself and some of the bigger cities, especially up in the Rust Belt, are having a little bit of a problem. But the one area of the country I think probably is still having the most angst would be the Southeast. There are quite a few states in the Southeast that are neutral to still declining in terms of economic growth or jobs. So that's probably the area that I see that's the worst hit.
We started out the year, you were very optimistic about 2013. We've had a few warning signs crop up here in the last few weeks. Are you worried now more than you were a couple months ago that this may end up like the previous 3 years?
Well, I'm concerned, Brian, and I think when we started off the first of the year, I did not believe that the government was going to enact a sequester in the manner that they did. I just refused to believe that the politicians would abdicate so completely their responsibility, but they have. So where we are now is we are faced with a continuing decline in government spending and an impact on the economy of at least 0.6% just from the sequester this year. So that's taking 0.6% off growth. It also has impacted confidence. And then I think the payroll tax issue hurt the consumer to a degree. Disposable income dropped about 5% in the first quarter versus last year. So those are all negatives that I think that probably I didn't fully appreciate the impact of. Now, on the positive side, one of the reasons I was optimistic in the first of the year was that individual debt service has gone down to levels we saw in the early 80s or early 90s, meaning that the consumer can participate in the economy again for the first time in about 5 or 6 years. And we have seen consumption increase. Now, again, personal income is going down. That's offsetting some of that, the ability that comes from lower debt service. So I would say as I sit here right now, first quarter came in a little less than most economists thought. Second quarter is probably going to be 1.5%. Third and fourth quarter will be back up slightly over 2%. So this is a replay again of the last 4 years.
The sequester obviously does have an impact. I know there were varying takes on how big of an impact it would be, but it certainly does have an impact, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, it's the thing about economics, and one of the reasons that economics is not a science is it's so dependent on psychology. And I think most people that are well-versed right now in what's going on in our economy see that the shrinkage of government spending, especially in the Defense Department, is having an impact. Then you couple that with the sequester, and you've got a situation where you've taken a lot of juice, or typically a lot of juice, out of the economy. Now, historically, two things have driven recoveries, residential investment and government spending. And we're missing government spending this time. We finally are starting to see some residential development. Residential construction is up about 12.6% annualized, and that's added 0.3% to the GDP in the first quarter. So we're starting to get some impact from residential investment for the first time in this recovery, but we don't have the government. So consumers doing better, residential investments increasing, government's not participating.
It is good to see the national housing market pick up. We'll talk more locally in our next segment, but nationally across the board, good to see some growth.
There is some growth going on, and it's we'll get into a little bit more detail about multifamily versus single family, but we are seeing the national real estate market recover. Having said that, it is very there's a lot of discrepancy between different markets and different states. We fortunately are living in the Pacific Northwest, and I think the Pacific Northwest is going to do very well the next 3 to 5 years.
Let's shift gears a little bit. Pat Stone joining us here on Business Briefing. Talk about this internet sales tax. Hot topic. Amazon supports this, but this could really take a bite out of small business across the country. What's your take on this, Pat?
I'm going to tell you, I actually think it's good for small business across the country. And I'll tell you why, Brian. I think that it's really a function of collecting a tax that should have been paid on sales. And I know you can think of examples of this. I can think of examples of this where you go into a store to look at an item, and then you buy it on the internet because there's no sales tax. That's not fair to small business. And actually, we've had a destruction or a degradation of small business ability to compete because you're not taxed on internet sales. So my gut is it will pass. My gut is it should pass.
That's an interesting take on it because it seems that most of the opinion I've read has gone the other direction. This could be harmful to small business in terms of the fact that they have extra work to do from a bookkeeping standpoint. But you look at it the other way and say, hey, no more showrooming, I guess, for many of these businesses.
I think 90% of the small businesses you and I frequent, see, or know will not be impacted in any manner from this at all. What will be impacted are the big internet retailers. Not small business. Small business has been being punished by this, not benefiting from it.
Well, it says something that Amazon obviously is backing it. Seems convenient. We haven't talked about Europe for a while, but we are starting to see more blame directed at Europe, I guess. Every time there's a blip in the forecast, it could be something in Europe. GE and McDonald's of late, two that come to mind. Why is this a surprise at this point? I mean, the Europeans have some major issues to overcome, and this is a chronic issue.
Well, you know, I think the blame comes from the fact that Europe represents about 17% of the global economy. Consequently, it represents about that much of the sales of the Fortune 500 type corporations, many of who have Europe as a major market. And so I think it's pretty, it may be easy, but sometimes it's even apropos for some of these companies to blame European sales or the issue in Europe for impacting their results. Europe now has unemployment of about 12%. There's a real dichotomy in Europe between Germany and the rest of the countries. If you look at unemployment and you look at GDP growth, Germany's done fine. Everybody else has suffered. Germany and a few of the northern European countries. So I do believe that there is a change in the attitude in Europe now. I think they're starting to look at austerity as maybe not providing the solution that they'd hoped. And I do believe you'll see some significant financial and monetary easing in Europe in hopes of stimulating the economy. Actually, that causes me some optimism because this is the first time the government of Europe or the collective government of Europe seems predisposed to try to do something proactive about the economy.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, too. I think it was Spain that's recently announced they're going to pull back on their austerity measures. So finally, somebody gets it.
I think so. You know, and here's the conundrum that we all find ourselves in. Depending on where you are in the economic cycle, you can argue coherently that, you know, that you believe in austerity or you believe in stimulus. The unfortunate thing is nothing is ever purely black and white and very simple to understand. The reality is that you do have this psychological spiral into oblivion going on in Europe now, and it's really, really profound in the southern European countries. Unemployment rates there in the 20s or higher. You know, youth unemployment in Spain is at 50%. I mean, that's untenable. I mean, socially, that creates a problem. So I think getting proactive about stimulating the economy is absolutely necessary.
You know, Pat, a couple years ago, you told me that you thought around 2015 was, and it seemed like a long time back then, that would be when we fully come out of this. You still feel like that's a good timeline?
Absolutely, Brian. I think the consumer is on their way to recovering. As I indicated, debt service is back to acceptable levels. Savings among consumers is low, which is somewhat troubling long term. But I think the consumer, by and large, as a segment of the economy, is recovered. I do believe that we have a couple years before government gets it together, and I'm not really sure what I mean by that other than I think they'll quit being a negative or a drag on the economy. Residential investment is increasing and will continue to increase, and actually we're doing very well on exports. So those things coupled with the fact that our banking system is the healthiest banking system in the world and the fact that we have perhaps a distinct advantage over the rest of the world in terms of energy going forward. We have very low-cost energy. Just give your listeners an example. About 25% of all electricity in the U.S. now is produced by natural gas or as a result of using natural gas. And electricity in the United States now costs less than half of what it costs in China. And it costs 40% less than what it costs in Europe. So we have power in this country at a distinct discount to the rest of the world. So we have food, we have power, we have an educated populace, we have well-capitalized banks, we have very healthy corporations. We have a government, though, even though we get frustrated with it, is probably doing better than a lot of the other governments that we can point to. I think 2015, it'll be back to a pretty normal situation.
And again, our thanks to Patrick Stone for sharing his insight here on Business Briefing. When we come back, is Paul Allen misunderstood?